What's up, guys? This is Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast, show number 49. I'm pumped you're here. Today, we're doing something a little different. I think you're going to enjoy it. We're going to talk about the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur, being a laundromat owner with Rick Rome. And it's a really good conversation. We have a lot of fun. And hopefully, it's really encouraging to those of you guys who've been struggling with the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, because it's a tough journey. So let's jump into it in a second, but I just want to encourage you and remind you, get over there on the forums, laundromatresource.com/forums, be meeting each other, mingling, answering a question, asking questions. It's just a great place to come and hang out and get to know this industry and get to know each other. There's a lot of good conversations happening over there. So come be a part of it. laundromatresource.com/forums. All right, let's jump into it with Rick Rome on this episode of the Laundromat Resource Podcast.
How's it going, Rick?
What's up, Jordan? I'm good, man. It's another day in heaven, I guess.
Another day in heaven. Well, it is like 75 here. It's beautiful. Sun is shining.
Yeah, I just raked a whole bunch of leaves with a parka and gloves on. I had hot glove warmers on, and you know what though? Fresh air.
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling a little sweaty right now over here, actually. So, dude, let's jump into this, man. I'm excited about. We talked a little bit. We want to talk about kind of the ups and downs of being in business, being a laundromat.
Yeah. It's holiday season, which is great and also horrible in terms of stress level.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be a good idea that we talk about, you know, what are we feeling? You know, I'm certain it's not unique to me or to you about our ups and downs and what's going on and how do we continue, you know, marching forward, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's a big part of just being a business owner in general, that there's just ups and downs. And, you know, I think weathering those ups and downs are a big part of being able to be successful at business, because, you know, if you let those downs get you down, you're done, right? Like you can't keep going. So
no, you can't. And on that note, actually, I'm going to say something. I usually don't plug the CLA at all, but what I would tell you is I did receive an email from them. Anyone who got that PPP, send a note to your senator, your congressman, congresswoman, and let them know that you shouldn't have to pay taxes on a PPP loan that was forgiven. Okay, so that would be another real massive bummer to small business owners, as if we haven't gone through enough crap over the last 10 months. Yeah. So go do that, guys. Everyone, they sent out a link, go to their website, check it out and send in. They even give you a sample letter on what to send in to your senator or congressman or congresswoman.
Yeah, huge. I mean, I knew stuff like this was going to happen. Whenever the government tries to get involved with stuff, things get a lot more complicated and expensive than anticipated. So I just, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. But yeah, go do that. And, you know, we got to stand together. You know, that's the only way we're going to have any say or any power. So
no doubt. But look, let's also be fair. Let's play devil's advocate. If you got a, you know, $50,000 loan and now that got forgiven, but you have to pay, you know, 30% or whatever the tax rate is on that. Yes, that still stinks, but that's 70% using that example that you got forgiven. So at the end of the day, I know it was all used to pay for people's salaries and employees and all that jazz. And for that purposes, I think it should be forgotten, frankly. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, you know, free money is good money.
Yep. Take what you can get, man.
With that being said, man, let's talk about holiday blues, you know. I get in the funk around this time. I go into sticker shock at how much money I spent. Initially, right? You don't look at your credit card until you get that bill, or you think about it periodically, and then you're like, I'm going to put my head in the sand and how it's going to affect your business. And you're like, oh my God, I overspend on X, Y, and Z. Look, at the end of the day, I would tell you, don't cut back on your advertising or marketing because you have a bigger debt burden to pay off. And frankly, I would tell you to accelerate that because that's going to drive more sales, which in turn will drive more profit, which in turn will allow you to pay down that debt service. So thinking of, you know, moving your marketing budget from, let's just say, $1,000 a month to $500 a month to offset your increased credit card bill. Okay, that's not bad thinking, but you have to think about what's the ROI, right? So if you're being charged, I don't know, let's say 12% on your credit card and your return, your ROI on your advertising budget is 22%. Well, I mean, guys, it's a no-brainer, right? Go with the advertising. It's getting you a better return. The discipline that you need to follow is now that you've gotten a bit more profit, can you take that money, that added profit that you use to pay down your debt burden? That is the real question, you know, going back to your government. That, you know, we get more tax dollars. What do? We reduce our deficit, our budget? No, we spend more money. But that's mm-hmm. we're not going to get political there. My point is, stay strong, but be disciplined, guys. And also know, you know, have empathy for your for perhaps your not only your staff but your potential clients. Maybe, for instance, you do a holiday special where, you know what, instead of charging $250 for a small washer, maybe you do it 2.25. There's also karma. I believe in karma. You know, some people might not, and that's fine. So stick to the 250. But at the end of the day, you know, I would tell you that goodwill is always great. It always boosts you. And 90% of everything we do in this world is mental. So be mentally strong and know that it isn't just affecting you, the business owner, but also your customer and everybody else that you deal with.
Yeah, it's an awesome time to build goodwill and to really breed loyalty to you and to your brand by, you mentioned empathy, and I think empathy is a superpower, actually. I think it gets a bad name, but I think it's a superpower. And I think that using empathy by, you know, putting yourself in your customer's shoes and realizing, hey, you know, they're going to be feeling that crunch too, that financial crunch. How can I, you know, build some goodwill? How can I, you know, breed loyalty towards my business, my company, my services, by, you know, maybe just lifting that financial burden off of them a little bit. And I love what you were talking about in terms of cutting marketing, you know, budget and that kind of thing. Cause I think that does tend to be one of the first things to go, but that expense, unlike most of our expenses, is actually an investment in your business. Right. And so when you cut that, you're cutting your income potential, assuming that you're doing your marketing well, and it's actually bringing you more business than you're spending, which is another, you know, story.
Another topic. Well, listen, I made the assumption that, you know, you should know that for, you know, every dollar out, what's the dollar in, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we read all over the place on all these media sites, blog sites, Facebook, whatever, about, hey, you know, how much is the utility as a percentage of sales, and, you know, all, you know, how long is the dry time, and where do you get good parts at a better rate, and da 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 da. I mean, you guys have a thumb on that. Why in the world wouldn't you have a thumb on your marketing as well? I mean, that makes no sense to me. I mean, is it just a duck and a prayer that you hope that it sticks? No, it should never be that way. I think you got to go out there and you have to understand and you have to track. And guess what? It's not easy. So, you know, I would tell you to focus, and refocus. Because if the new year is around the corner, right, start thinking about what your goals are, right? And in going, you know, full circle, if it's debt reduction because you overspent on a personal level on holidays, well, listen, the obvious answer is, oh, I'm going to raise the prices on my washing machines and that'll get me back to whole. Well, it might, but there's a very good chance it's going to turn people off, right? I never understood, and I don't necessarily agree with the philosophy of like, oh, I'm not, my revenues are down, so I'm going to raise my prices. I don't get that. Mm-hmm. I really don't understand that. I'm not telling you to lower your prices. But because your revenues are down, that's why you want to raise your prices so you get more income? No, I don't think that. I don't believe in that. You're not selling gold. I mean, if you were Louis Vuitton and your average sale price was an item was $5,000 and you went to $5,500, yes, those people aren't going to notice. Not one iota. I agree with you. But when you raise your washing machine, and the people who are very desperate right now, and you, as you all know, they'll leave for 25 cents, mm-hmm. crazy as it sounds, mm-hmm. you know, think about that. Just think about that. So again, I don't know if the right answer is to discount to drive more, but I would certainly not raise my prices because of the fact that my revenues are down. I think you'd have to look at yourself and look at how you're investing. Are you overspending on, let's say, ancillary things? So, you know what? You started hiring somebody to come in and mop and sweep the floor 4 days a week, and that's costing you an extra $150 a week. Well, maybe for that next month, you should bag that person and do that yourself, right? That's a much better solution, in my book, than taking your advertising budget from $1,000 a month to $500 a month, especially if it's returning a 22% return on investment versus whatever you do with the excess free cash to reduce your debt at a 12% margin or even a 15% margin. Any point that's less than 22 is a losing solution for you. It's not a good one.
Yeah. And I think, I think you're dead on. And I think instead of focusing on, you know, cutting back that marketing expense, you or raising your prices, either or, because I agree with you. I think those are both bad philosophies. Focus on how you can provide more value to your customers. That's how you're going to get your business up, right? Is provide more value for your customers for what they get, you know, and especially in comparison to their other options, whether it be another laundromat or their apartment complex or even their home, you know, laundry. How can you make their experience better? How can you give them more? You know, and I love the business philosophy, and I try to do this in everything that I do, but to give more value than what's being paid for, right? If somebody's paying me, you know, $5 to wash a load of laundry, well, I'm trying to give them more than that $5 worth of service.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. I don't know if you can hear me, but you were breaking up there for a minute.
Is it breaking up? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's okay. You know, stop with the DSL. Get with the good stuff. Okay? Yeah.
I told you it's windy over here right now.
I agree with you. I think that acts of kindness or just good old-fashioned respect, mm-hmm. regardless if they give you respect, that's not the point. You should always give people respect, at least initially. And if they're not giving you respect, you have a choice. You can say something, which I generally would not do to a customer. I would just say thank you and walk away at first. But, you know, and that goodwill that you just built, if they are an appreciative person, which generally people are, it just builds good quality lifetime value, right? It just increases the lifetime value of that specific customer. Like, oh, wow, you know what? The quarter got jammed in the machine. It's not drying. I went to the attendant. The attendant said, sure, no problem. Not only did they give them the quarter that got jammed in the machine, but you know what? They threw in an extra quarter. I guarantee you that'll come back in 10 times the amount of money.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, listen, I got an email from Phil, okay? And he asked the question about what else do you do when your laundry neighbor is dying off. He comes to you and asks you if you want a partner. You know, let's divide and conquer. You know, is that a good solution? Is it a bad solution? Is it times of trouble? You know, what is your opinion on partnering with your closest physical competitor in regards to owning the market, so to say.
Yeah. I guess, what does that mean exactly? In what way would you partner with them? What? Yeah.
I suppose it meant that you guys have unified pricing, I guess unified messaging. I can't imagine it means unified service because each are different. That's what I interpreted.
Yeah, I guess my initial reaction would be I need to take a second and figure out, is this good for me and my business? And if so, how is it good for my business? And I mean, I initially have a hesitation of partnering with somebody whose ship is sinking, right? Like I don't necessarily want to go down with their ship, right? It's like when you're rescuing somebody who's drowning, you know, you don't want them to pull you down too if you're trying to rescue them, right? So you do what you got to do to save them without you drowning also. So, I mean, if somebody's coming to me and saying, hey, my business is rough, let's partner together to try to, you know, recoup the business. My initial reaction is, okay, hold on. Do I want to partner with a sinking ship? And number two, is there a scenario where this could work out? And my initial reaction is probably not, but you know, I'm always open to being creative and thinking about it, but
take some equity, right? Take some equity in the sinking ship potentially. So if it sinks, not the end of the world, I guess you could sell it for less and you get a little piece of it. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe his philosophy was, you know, high tide raises all boats. I don't know. I'm just reading an email that came in about it, asking the question. So
yeah.
I figured, you know, I'd throw it out there. I mean, we got a couple others in here we can nail. I got another one asking me about what type of insurance, you know, what type of insurance do you have for your business? And I'll lead off with that one, stating that I think it depends on the state you live in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a given. I'm not going to go out on a limb by any stretch and tell you I'm an insurance guy that knows the different policies in the different states and what's allowed or not allowed. But what I would tell you is that I have obviously workers' comp insurance. I have theft, fire, you know, general liability insurance in case someone slips on the banana peel. Mm-hmm. And then what else I do to support that and make sure I'm protected, right? It's one thing to have the insurance, which is nice, right? But having a video camera or cameras in the facility allows you to protect yourself to say, yeah, look at the guy. He said he slipped on a banana peel. Look at the banana peel. He didn't slip on any banana peel. He just kind of lied down on the floor and said, ooh, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, having those types of protections and we'll say safety nets or backups to your existing insurance. Again, no one wants to have to, you know, spend the money to do that. But what's the value if someone has an accident and now, you know, you have to sell your laundry or pay a hefty fine for it, right? Or your insurance drops you. Mm-hmm. And now you have a black mark, so to say, on your business. So when you try and get general liability insurance again, are you going to have you're going to have to pay a lot more money because of this payout? And the answer, at least in New York, is yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, I mean, again, it's so dependent on not only just the state you're in, but also your particular business, how you run your business. Unattended is going to be different from attended. You know, a lot of insurance is going to require you to have cameras. You know, I think, and I like your comment about preventative measures like the camera, but also like, you know, keeping your store clean and dry so people aren't going to slip. And, you know, all those things are important. But here's what I would recommend if you're looking for insurance is start calling insurance agents, figure out what they recommend. And I would call multiple agents and say, hey, I have a laundromat. What insurance do you recommend that I have? How much is that going to be? And compare policies and prices, because it's not only prices that's important. You know, a lot of times we get fixated on, oh, well, this insurance is $200 a month and this insurance is $500 a month. So I'm going to go with the $200 a month insurance. Well, maybe, but maybe you're not being covered in ways that you need to be covered with that $200 a month insurance policy. And the other thing is, with insurance, this is not just business insurance. This is car insurance, you know, home insurance, any of those things. My kind of philosophy is those discount insurance agents are not the ones that you want to have in your corner, generally speaking, when something goes wrong. Because their goal is going to be first figure out how to not pay out. And that's what I've seen over and over and over again. Whereas if you get a quality insurance company that's giving you a quality insurance product, when something goes wrong, they're going to be in your corner. And when you own a business like a laundromat, if something goes wrong to where you're going to need insurance, something has gone wrong and you need somebody in your corner and you need somebody to be backing you up. So yes, compare prices, but also compare those policies and the customer service.
Well, here's another thing to think about, right? One thing I do it on my vehicles and I do it on my general liability is I jack up my deductible. Well, general liability, there are no real deductibles, at least none that I know of, but because I've never had to use it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I'm okay. Like on my trucks, I go for, I'm at a $2,000 deductible because at the end of the day, if I hit somebody and I have to pay for it, generally it's going to cost less than $2,000 to fix. And more importantly, it's not going to go through in my insurance company. So my premiums aren't going to go higher.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I take that risk, I guess on the first $2,000, which helps me, lower my premium costs. So it allows me to get better coverage. If you're one of those guys that says, ooh, 200 versus 500, boy, would that be a horrible mistake to make? And then it turns out you owe someone like $40,000 and all you saved was $800 over the life of the policy. And now you got a $40,000 bill to pay. I mean, that would just be horrendous.
Yeah. And it happens too. And that's, you know, insurance is a tricky one. And that's why I highly recommend, because it's so complex. There's so many different policies. There's so many different things you can add on to it. And you don't want to be oversold, but you also don't want to be undersold. Right. And so that's why I highly recommend talk to multiple insurance agents from different companies, see what they recommend, compare those policies, compare the prices, you know, even get some recommendations from, you know, maybe the top two or three that you like and find out how their, you know, customer service is. How is it when things actually do go wrong? Are they going to be a huge pain to work with, or are they going to be okay? You know, are they going to be in your corner?
I got one for you. I this one's from me to you question.
Ooh,
first of all, before I ask you, are you familiar with, Bill.com or QuickBooks and things like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I am migrating into a Bill.com, and then I'm going to use the API to have it go directly into my QuickBooks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some may say, well, why would you do that? Well, in my opinion, why I think, and my question will be to you is, do you use that? And if so, what do you like about it? But what I want to say is, I like the automation. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that it helps me lower my controller costs, right? I don't have to pay as much out to my controller now to, so to say, reconcile my books. So I think it pays for it in its own right. In case you have an audit or for tax, at the end of the year tax stuff, it's all right there for you. Your vendors get paid 1, 2, 3, so you don't have to worry about skipping a payment.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be one of those guys that never trusted the utility company. Like, they'd always charge me more if I gave it on automation. But I've turned a blind eye to that and realized that over the last 4 years since I've automated payment on that, they haven't screwed me. So I just think that, you know, and I want to hear your thought, but I'm going to tie this all back into the psychology of what it's like to run a laundry. So by all means, what do you do for your laundries or your broker business and your vendors and things like that? Do you use one of those systems? If not, why not? Things like that.
Yeah. So for my laundromats, I'm still just using spreadsheets. I created a spreadsheet, you know, mm-hmm. a while back. And the reason for that is I'm still mostly a self-serve laundry. I mean, that's like the majority of my stuff. And it's pretty simple. The spreadsheet I created, you can actually download it for free. The spreadsheet, laundromatresource.com, go to the resources and you can download that spreadsheet that I use and, you know, use it yourself if you want to. But it's just simple. It's just easy, you know, because it's just cash coming in, you know, on a weekly basis. So
cash in, cash out. So you reconcile that way.
Yeah. But for my other businesses, I've used QuickBooks and FreshBooks both. They're pretty similar. I agree with you. I think that if you have anything more complicated than, you know, a set amount of cash going in, set amount of cash going out, I set up my auto bill pay with my utilities and stuff, just through their websites. I highly recommend using something like that. Some people use accountants and that's totally fine too. But if you're running it yourself or you have somebody on your staff who can run it, one of those QuickBooks, FreshBooks just really, really simplifies things. And one of the things I really like about it is that, first of all, it's easy to give to my tax guy, right? Like you just totally click a button, it prints it out nice and he's got everything he needs, you know, to do his thing. But you can also, you just get a lot of data that way. Like if you want to look at, you know, certain things, you can run different reports and get a lot of data about what's happening with your money. It's easy to keep track of where your money is coming from, where it's going. And, it makes it easier to see anomalies like, you know, a utility company doing, you know, something funny or something like that. So, I think that they're well worth their money. If you're doing your finances yourself, then, or somebody on your team, man, I would highly recommend doing something like that. QuickBooks, FreshBooks, bills.com.
I completely agree. I mean, if you're going to use a mechanic to fix your machines, why wouldn't you use an accountant to fix your books?
Yeah.
Right. And I guess where I'm going back to this full circle is I'm just trying to point out the psychologies of successful operators, right? What do we think about on a daily basis, weekly, monthly basis, and all these different innuendos and potential pitfalls that come about in our daily business life, right? So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, you know, plan, be prepared, right? I when I was a wrestler, in our weigh-in room, there was all these little signs, posters like, you know, grab the moment and whatever else. And the one that stuck with me the most is luck is when opportunity and persistence come together. Mm-hmm. I use it all the time. And, you know, on Wall Street used to say it's better to be lucky than good, right? So luck to me means opportunity and persistence coming together. And that's what I'm ultimately trying to describe in this show about, you know, the psychology of what successful business operators do and what they do and their mindset on when, you know, the proverbial shit hits the fan. What do you do? Well, good news. We are lucky because we have backups to everything, so to say. We know we have our thumb on our numbers. Mm-hmm. We know what's coming in. We know what's going out. We know where we can adjust on the fly. We know where we can save money here and perhaps gain some market share somewhere else. Those are the things that I think as a laundromat owner, whether it be small or big, you should have a pulse, your thumb on the pulse of your business. Because it's, to me, it's my lifeline. It's my puts food on the table. And I want to make sure that we got a nice turkey for Thanksgiving or a ham for Christmas or, cookies for Hanukkah, whatever it is that you celebrate. But, right. You know, that's the purpose of why I thought this show was important.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's huge. And I think, you know, successful people do tend to do things alike that, you know, and so I love that. And the other thing too, that really stood out to me is, you know, it particularly with like, what I call like the whirlwind, right? The whirlwind activities, this is the stuff that has to happen. Like you got to keep your books, you got to pay your bills, those things. A lot of people who kind of get stuck and they have problems moving their business forward or expanding, they get caught up in that whirlwind and they're spending a lot of time trying to manage their books. And they're spending a lot of time trying to make sure their bills are getting paid. And they're spending a lot of time on that stuff. Whereas I see all the time successful operators, not just in our industry and our business, but all over, they are still taking care of their whirlwind activities because those are things that have to be done, but they're looking for ways to minimize their time investment in those things so that they can spend more time on business building activities. And I see you doing that all the time really, really well. And a lot of other top operators, they are hiring people to take off, you know, whirlwind activities off their plate. They're putting systems in place. They're using technology, all those things to help them manage the whirlwind so that they can focus more time on business building, business expansion, you know, big picture, working on the business, not in the business kind of thing. So huge.
I agree, man. I thought that was great. Well, I thought it was an awesome show.
Yeah.
And I look forward to our next one next week, man.
Can't wait.
Good talking, bro.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next time. See ya.